Thank you. That happens to me a lot. Ah! And let me have that other mic for a second. Yeah. And I'm going to ask Melva to tell you a little bit about the stuff we have in the back here. We don't charge for anything, okay? So it's not like, oh, I don't have any money with me. But these are all books that we think will help you, encourage you in your walk with Christ. And also, there's some CDs of Melva and I singing back there, and they're all free. But we would ask you parents to watch your little ones and be sure they're not taking two of everything. And we only put out a few things there, you know, kind of examples. And if you have, say, oh, I wanted that one, just write down your name and mailing address. Melva's got a chart back there, and we will send it to you free of charge, anything that we run out of. And during the week, we'll put out a few more of everything we have. Okay, tell them about a couple of these.
Well, there's a couple of things out there that I wanted to highlight. The first one is a handout. It's called Ignite, and it's done by 3E Ministries, E3 Ministries, and it's a mission organization, and they go out and do outreaches to Muslim countries. And this Ignite goes through the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 as a model, and you can use it as a daily devotional. And I was really blessed. You take one page, it takes you 7 minutes to do each day, and it, like the title says, it ignites your prayer time, gives you a new look at the scriptures. So we've got a lot of these, and you're welcome to take one. And the other book that I read along with that, you don't have to do it this way, but we're giving these out to our pastors during our pastor wives' dinner this month, and it's called Fervent by Priscilla Shearer. Priscilla Shearer is the daughter of Tony Evans, who's a pastor, and she had a part in the movie War Room. This is a good book too, ladies. It talks about a battle plan for serious, specific, strategic prayer, and it will also ignite and give you, show you areas of the way the Holy Spirit can enlighten your prayer life.
All right. So. Thank you. I'll let you turn it off. Wow. Thank you, Melva. Melva and I celebrated our 45th wedding anniversary this year, which is amazing since we're only 39 years old, which is amazing. Some of you have seen 2 years ago when we were here, we gave you the first copies of our reprint of the Firefighter New Testament. And which has testimonies and stories by different ones of us who fight fires, both structure and wildland. And we gave away the first copies here of our special reprint. Well, 2 years later, we've given out over 8,000 around the world. They've gone to Kenya, they've gone to Uganda, they've gone to Canada, and all over the United States. And yesterday, received another request for 150 copies to go to North Carolina, for an 80-year-old man who retired as a firefighter from a structure fire department. He travels to every fire station he can pass and go in and gives out firefighter New Testaments. So it's really exciting what God's doing. We got a word this week from Zondervan that they have decided that since it's been so popular, they're going to start republishing them so that we don't have to. We have 4,000 copies left, though, that we're sending out as we speak around the country. Now, there's a game today, is that right? What is it? The Supper Bowl or something like that? Super Bowl. Well, I want you to know what a few, and we're getting ready, Andy, for this, okay? a few guys already on the Super Bowl teams are doing right now. And I want to say this to you. How many of you have a cell phone, iPhone type of thing? Huh? Yeah, almost everybody, most of you. All right. If you have one, we want you to add the Bible app on there. And these guys are talking about that. So could we see that, Andy? It's about a two-minute deal here.
The YouVersion Bible app helps me to stay focused every day, whether it's a year devotional, a 30-day devotional. Like right now, to start the playoffs, I did a Finding God at the Workplace. There's nothing better than when I wake up in the morning, I just grab my phone, log onto the app, and I can read it before I get out of bed.
To start your day off, that's one of the one things I do. I have a reminder that goes off at 6:30. Boom. Patrick reading the scripture of the day. It's just a really unique way to kind of dig into the Word.
Instead of just reading aimlessly at times, being able to use their plans, at different seasons in my life when I need them, whether it's something on parenting, whether it's something on marriage, whether it's something during the Christmas season, just to have that organization as I do my studies, it's really been great. It's really been helpful for my wife and I.
It's just easy to pull out your phone and pull up that app, and any type of inspiration you need or whatever struggles you're going through, I mean, you've got everything you need right there.
YouVersion helps me access that verse quickly when it's on the tip of my tongue, or I meet up with somebody and we're just talking about the Lord, and all of a sudden, you know, a verse hits us and we got to find it someplace to get more context.
It's a free app, and this morning when I get up, and I always get up and read this in the morning, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, I don't know. I know you never get nervous before you play the piano, right? I get nervous before I speak to a great group of people like you because we're speaking about eternal things. Things that matter where we're going to spend heaven, in heaven or hell. We're talking about things that are going to affect our marriage, things that are going to affect our personal life, things that are going to affect our business life, our relationships with our children. I got an email yesterday about a man who had passed away and his daughter had not seen him or talked to him for 23 years. And the grieving she was going through, God's Word and the Holy Spirit will change your relationships. So we're going to take a look at some of these things. Now, the title, as Pastor James said to you, is called Becoming a Super Bowl Christian. Really unique, all right? Okay. All right. But what do we start with? What starts us off at becoming a Super Bowl Christian? Well, I remember what Vince Lombardi said. You remember him? He was the famous coach of the Green Bay Packers. And they had just won the Super Bowl. And the next summer, they came together to begin training and practice for the next football season. And do you remember what he did? Vince Lombardi stood up with a football in front of these Super Bowl champions, and he said what? Do you remember? Gentlemen, this is a football. And they looked at him and they go, what? Coach, we just won the Super Bowl. And he says, if you forget the foundations, if you forget the basics, you'll never win another one. And I think as Christians, we always need to go back and renew our commitment to the basics. If we're going to grow, if we're going to learn and be filled with the Spirit and be effective and bear great fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, we're going to have the basics right. So this morning, we're going to start with the basic of becoming a member of the team, of God's team. So now, open your Bibles if you have them, and we're going to have it up here, I believe, John chapter 3. This week, we're going to talk about becoming a member of the team. We're going to talk about the playbook. We're going to talk about the practice sessions. We're going to talk about everything. And at the end of the week, we have a special guest coming in who's going to talk about becoming a coach. We've got some things coming up that are going to be fantastic. And I want you to invite somebody to come with you and be part of this. All right, chapter 3, of John. Are we ready? Is it up here? Yeah. Let's read this together. Can you read with me? Right up here. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." Now, we'll stop there for a moment. Unless God is with him. Now, here's Nicodemus. And he's a what? What does it say he was? A Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. Now, the Pharisees were the most conservative party of the Jews. They had been a renewal movement in the Jewish religion. They had gone back because the Sadducees and others were getting more and more liberal and away from God's word. The Pharisees had gone back and said, "We've got to bring us back to what Moses taught us, back to the Bible." Unfortunately, they then began to make every rule and law. They would take one of the Ten Commandments and make 20 or 30 laws to go with it. And pretty soon they became very legalistic and very set. And this man, even though he was a ruler, a leader of these, a leader of the Jewish nation, he knew something was missing. And so he comes to Jesus. Did he come in the middle of the day? No. He came at night. Why do you think he came at night? Maybe so nobody would see him. Yeah. And I think some of us are like that. We're saying, "Well, I'm not sure about Jesus. I'm not sure about what this really means, but I know there's something missing in my heart. I know this last, well, about 3 weeks ago, I had a man at the ski area, a man whose father was a pastor. But this man had grown up and he'd gone to, you know, seminary even, and he'd done all this, and now he'd retired as a school teacher. And he came up to me in the ski school locker room. He volunteered one day a week. He said, "Rick, I need to talk to you for a minute." And I said, "Sure, what's up?" He said, "I've got cancer. And I, all of a sudden, my invincibility, my I'll live forever kind of mentality, even though he's 70, he said, I realize I may not live. Can I talk to you?" And I said, "Sure," and I prayed with him right there, and then he says, "I think I need some pastoral counseling." And I said, "Sure," but he didn't come to church. He went to a church, but it was a pretty liberal one. But he said, "Can I just meet with you?" He came to me. We had lunch, and we began to talk. And you know, my friend said, "All my life, I've pushed Jesus back, but now I want him." So Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. And he starts off with a pretty generic statement, right? It was pretty easy for everybody to say that. "Rabbi, we know you've come from God because of all the things you've done. I've seen you out there, Jesus. I've seen you teaching. I've seen you do miracles. I saw that lame man get up and walk. I saw that blind man see. I saw that deaf man hear. What's up with you?" Let's take it to the next verse. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly." Now here's something about the Hebrew. The Hebrew language, which or in the Greek language here, when you're going to highlight something, you say it two or three times. Like holy, holy, holy in the Hebrew means this is important stuff. Truly, truly means listen, pay attention. This is a truth you need to know. He answers and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now stop. Wait a minute. Jesus didn't respond to his praise. You know, Jesus said, "I'm sure you're from God. You're such a great teacher." Jesus didn't say, "Well, thank you very much. I went to rabbinical school." No. What's he look at Nicodemus? And he looks him straight in the eye and says, "Listen, buddy, this is really essential for you to know. Unless you're born again, you will never enter the kingdom of God. You'll never see it. You'll never experience the kingdom of God." Now, guys, that's strong. That's strong. I met a guy on the chairlift I was sharing Christ with one day, one of my ski students. And he says, "Well, I'm a Christian. I'm just not one of them born-again Christians." Well, I had to look at him and I'd say, "Friend, you either are born-again Christian or you're not a Christian." I hear that over and over again from people. They'll say, "Well, I just don't know about this born-again thing. I'm a good person. I go to church. I'm on the rabbinical council. I'm a Sadducee or a Pharisee, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Catholic or a Methodist." Listen, Jesus didn't say that's enough. He said just the opposite. "You're a leader of the Jews. You're religious more than anybody in this room. But unless you're born again, you won't see the kingdom of God." You see, I have guys that come to our church in Gunnison, guys I've known for years, who come faithfully every Sunday. They invite people. They do everything they can, but they're not born again because they're still pushing Jesus back. They're still trying to hold on and say, "I'm a good person. I'll get there somehow." I'm going to tell a story on Bill Hansen. Bill Hansen's wife, Crystal, was coming to our church services in Gunnison. How many years ago, Bill? 40? And Chris accepted Christ. And her daughter accepted Christ. And they came and they were going to get baptized on Sunday night. And I talked to Bill, and I said, "Bill, what about you? Have you given your life to Christ?" And if I remember, he said, "Yeah." I said, "When?" "Well, a couple of weeks ago." "Well, you're going to get..." "No, I'm not going to get baptized. No, no, none of that stuff." And we got up that night, and I got in the water, and Crystal came down, and we baptized her in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And she got out, and then which daughter was it? Tori. Came down and we baptized her in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then I'm about ready to close in a prayer and a song, and we're staying to, and Bill looks over at me and he says, "Is there enough water in there for one more?" I said, "Yep." Guys, it's not being religious, it's making a commitment to Jesus Christ. It's repenting, turning away from your old life, your old sin, your old belief that you can get there on your own way. It's coming to Jesus. And when you come and you ask Him to forgive your sin and you trust Him to do it because He died on the cross for you, you become born again. Let's read a little further. Yeah. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" That's a normal question, isn't it? Well, what do you mean? Now, we assume sometimes that people know how to get saved. Well, if they want to get saved, I had a guy tell me this. If they want to get saved, they'll come to my church and get saved. How many people really understand how to come to Christ, how to be saved? Not many. And so we have to share with them how. So Jesus turns to him and he says, "Okay, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Keep going. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." Now here's the thing. There's got to be two births. How many of you here were born once? Yeah, pretty much all of us, okay. I think there was a couple hatched, if I looked at it. Yeah. We all were born once. Now, somebody says, "Well, can't my friend be a Christian and not know it?" No. Were you born and did your mom know you were born? Yeah. You have a moment. There was a 9-month preparation period there, and there's a lot of us who've been going through God's been preparing us to come to Christ. You're here because someone invited you. You're here because there's an interest, there's a hunger, but now is the time that you need to be born again. What happens? Don't be amazed. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Ever get surprised when somebody you never thought would get saved gets saved? You? You ever get surprised when you look around and you say, "That guy's not interested," and then craziest thing in the world, they get saved, they become an evangelist or a preacher or share Jesus with everybody they can talk with? Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit's the one who draws us to Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who shows us our need for Jesus. The Holy Spirit is working right now in your heart and my heart to draw us to Christ. He's saying, "Gentlemen, this is the football." He's saying, "Here is a need that you have to meet the same way as everybody else." You see, just because Nicodemus was a religious leader didn't mean he automatically got a shortcut to salvation. There's a gate, and every one of us has to go through that gate. And Jesus said, "I'm the gate." Jesus said, "I'm the only way to come to God." Unless you're born again of the Spirit of God, unless that happens, you're not going to see His kingdom. So go a little further. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly I say to you, truly, truly I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we've seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you don't believe it, if I gave you that example of being born earthly, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended," that's Jesus, "who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved," let's read that together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Now, guys, Jesus makes it clear now. Here's how, Nicodemus. I've shown you your need. I've shown you you don't understand. And now I'm going to tell you how. It's like I took a ski student out one day and he was very prideful. "I want to go up and do the double blacks. I want to do the black diamonds." I said, "Oh, really? Okay. But I haven't seen you ski yet. Let's take a run." We get up to a run. "But this isn't hard enough." I said, "Okay. Let's go down it and just show me." Well, two turns into this run, this guy's all over the place, you know, he's flailing. We get to the bottom of the hill, and I say, "Now, are you ready to learn?" "Yeah." We have to sometimes realize how much we don't know so that we can come to know And Jesus said, now, Nicodemus, let me tell you how. The Holy Spirit is moving right now in places you don't know, Nicodemus. But he's touched your heart. And he's drawing you to a place where you can understand. Your religion isn't going to get you there, Nicodemus, but now I'm showing you what will get you there. And Nicodemus, it's believing in me. Now, Nicodemus, do you remember in the Old Testament where Moses had to make a staff and a serpent on it to represent salvation? Do you remember how the people of Israel had grumbled and complained and whined? And God sent poisonous snakes into the midst of them. And every time they got bit, they died. And you remember how Moses cried out, Nicodemus, and asked God to forgive the people and asked God to spare them. And do you remember what God told him to do? He said, I'm going to have you put a stake in the middle of the encampment with this bronze serpent on it. And every time they would look at that, they would not die but live. They had to put their trust, their faith in the one thing, the one provision that God placed before them. Do you remember that? Nick would give us, yeah. Well, the same way, Nick, if you're going to be born again, you've got to put your trust in me. Now, let me tell you the good news, Nicodemus. God so loved you. And you and me. He loves the Muslim people. He loves the Hindu people. He loves those around the world. He loves everyone so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay the price for sin. Now, wait a minute. You say, what, I don't know the sin thing. What do you mean? God says every one of us, every single one of us has turned away from God. Well, I'm in church. I know, but God says you and I have all sinned. Mother Teresa, Billy Graham, everybody, we've all sinned. That's the bad news, because sin leads to separation from God. Then separation from God ends ultimately in hell. A place where Jesus said the worm never dies, the fire never goes out. It's a place of agony. It's a place of punishment for our rebellion against God. That's the bad news. Without Christ, that's where we go. And that's not popular to say, but Jesus said it. But the good news is God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son. But okay, he gave the Son, but what do we do about it? Is it automatic? No. He said, Nicodemus, here's what has to happen. You have to believe in, and that word means trust in, cling to, rely upon my taking your death penalty for sin. Well, wait a minute. I've been a pretty good guy. I've been on the rabbinical council. I've served at the potlucks. I've been a deacon. I've been a pastor. No. That's good, that's fine, but that won't get you there. Are you ready, Nicodemus, to believe in, trust in, cling to, and rely on me taking your place, dying in your place, rising again for you? Because that's the answer, folks. As much as we want to say I'm a good person, really we're not. We've all sinned. As much as we want to say I'm going to get there my own way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father unless they come through me. There's no other way, guys. Do you have the fundamental? Are you part of the team? Have you humbled yourself and asked God to forgive your sins because Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place? Are you willing to turn away and let go of sin? Are you willing to turn away of thinking you can make it on your own, of being your own God, of running your own life? Are you willing to let Him be your Lord and Savior? Then His arms are open wide. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come unto me. The Spirit and the bride, the Holy Spirit in the church says, come to Christ. He loves you so much. He died for you. How do you say, I don't know, He loves me? God demonstrated His love for you and me so much that Jesus died while we were yet sinners. While we were still spitting in His face, saying, no, I don't need you. I'll do it my way. He said, I've died for you. Come to me. You see, that's the foundation. Paul calls it that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, this is the foundation. Now we're going to build on it this week. But if you haven't come to Christ yet, please, right now, it's a simple little prayer. It has to come from your heart. Lord Jesus, I confess to you I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive my sin. I trust you to do that because you died on the cross in my place. And I yield my life to you to be my Lord. Is that the desire of your heart? My friend was the son of a pastor, but he always pushed it back. Is that the desire of your heart? Do you want to know Christ? Not just know about Him. Not just know the church. Not just to know Christians, but do you want to know Christ? I did 4 funerals in 3 states in the last 10 days. 3 of whom I know are with Jesus, and 1 I don't. I don't want to do your funeral and not know. I don't want you to go one more day in your life without the Savior. I pray. I just finished teaching a fire class for the Crested Butte Fire Department. At the end of the class, I said, guys, this is so important. I want none of you to perish. I don't want anyone in this room to go home today without Jesus. Will you receive Him? He says, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait another day. Would you stand with me, please? Father, I know your love for this group of people right now, not only as a group, but I think of your love for each person here individually. There are some young people here this morning, Father, that you love so much. You died. You sent Jesus and He died in their place. There's some older people here who've maybe resisted really committing their lives to you all their life, but this morning they realize they need you. Holy Spirit, I trust that you've been working through your word all through this room this morning. Lord, there have been people praying for 40 days for this meeting, and they have been praying that your Spirit would move, and I know He has. Father God, I pray right now for those who say, I need the Savior. Just repeat after me in your heart if this is your desire. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I turn from sin to you. I trust you to forgive my sin because Jesus died on the cross. For me. And I yield you my life to become my Lord in every area. And I thank you in faith that you are doing what you promised, that you have forgiven my sin, you have given me a new birth, and I belong to you for eternity. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you prayed that prayer, this is only the beginning. This is not fire insurance to go home and forget. This is the beginning of a walk following Jesus. We're going to talk about that this week, but I want you to talk personally to Pastor James or Vicky or one of the leaders that you saw today. And we want you to get started. And I want to pray for you as well. So I'm going to sing a little verse of Amazing Grace with you. And I'm going to ask you to humble yourself. The first step of obedience and come forward. Jesus said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Paul says this in the book of Romans. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So we're going to sing one little verse of Just As I Am. And I'm going to ask you to slip out from where you are. I want you to ask you to come forward and give your life to Jesus publicly. Nicodemus did this later. We find at the end of Jesus' earthly life, Nicodemus came forward. Don't wait. Don't wait. Let's start with the foundations. Pastor James is here and others will be here. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. We're going to sing it through one more time, and I'm going to ask you, if you want to commit your life to Christ, come right now. Talk with these men or women. And if you want to just come and pray, you can do that over here on my right, your left. And we'll pray with you on other things as well. But come, don't miss this opportunity. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. I'm going to ask you to join hands across the aisle. This week we've got folks come, just come right on in. Join hands right across the aisle. This week we've got cowboys coming in. We've got the sheriff of the county coming in. And I've got some folks from Gunnison coming over to share what Jesus is doing in their lives. And you be part of it. Bring a friend. Bring a friend. Oh, praise the Lord. Father God, thank you for what you're doing already. Thank you for what you're doing already, Lord Jesus. And just knit us together in your love. Knit us together in your spirit. Lord, just draw us close to you. And let our lives reflect you to others. Let our lives be so filled with the Holy Spirit that, Lord, that you just pour out of us to others. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you for those who've come today already, Lord. Thank you for this week. Amen. Praise God.